One Talk with LT, episode 72. This episode is brought to you by StackWap.com. This episode is also brought to you by Patreon.com/BluntTalkWithLT. Subscribe, become a patron. We have episodes on Patreon every Friday. That's BluntTalkWithLT/Patreon.com/BluntTalkWithLT. All right, first topic we're getting into. Recently, there's been this huge viral video of this exotic dancer slash stripper falling from a pole about 10, 15, maybe possibly 20 feet in the air. And it kind of shook up the internet because she continued to dance after she landed. Let's just watch this video real quick. Yeah, she's really high, and then whoop, holy shit. And then right back up twerking. They should have made it rain on her more because that is an epic fall. And then she does head top too. It's like most people would have been out of here by this point. Like most people would have offed it and been like, fuck that. I've seen people fall down like a step or two and call it a night. So for her to just like fall from 15, 20 feet in the air and then continue dancing, like they should have made it rain on her. She has some injuries. I think it was a fractured ankle and like a broken jaw. She has a fund going on, like a Cash App. And then there's like a shit. What's that shit called again? Where you fucking get people to donate your money for you? GoFundMe. Yeah, she has a GoFundMe account. So she's, you know, for her medical bills because it's very expensive. So shout out to her. She has a video also talking about it. Let's play that. Let's go. Yeah. All right. Let's play that.
So I didn't want to have to do this. Originally, I didn't plan on posting about this situation at all. But obviously, the video has gone viral and I'm getting a lot of messages asking me if I'm okay and like all this stuff. So I decided I'd update everybody and let everyone know what's going on. I pretty much broke my jaw and I have to have surgery on it tomorrow. I broke some teeth and I got a sprained ankle, but aside from that, like I'm good. I have no broken limbs. I walked away myself. I got up right after it happened. And I'm just really overwhelmed by all the messages and everything. And I'm so thankful, though, for all the positive messages I've been getting and all the love. And it really means a lot. So that's why I decided to post this video just to say thank you and just let you guys know that I am having a hard time, but I am okay, and I'm gonna be okay. It's just a really humbling experience to just be alive, you know? I'm really thankful for that, and that's just what's most important to me at this very moment, is that I have my life, and that even with my injury to my face, it still could have been a lot worse, so thank you guys. I really appreciate it, and I didn't want to cry, but I can't make this video without crying, so I just ask that, you know, if I don't respond to you right away, like if I know you personally, just please don't take that offensively right now. It's just my phone's going crazy and it's just a lot, but I'm okay, and I just wanted to let everybody know that I'm good. So thank you guys, and I appreciate it once again.
All right, so that was, what's her name, Jenna Sky? Well, that's her Instagram or Twitter handle. Well, that's her response to the video coming out with her falling from that very high strip pole. Everyone has their fun and games and laughs, and, you know, everyone makes their memes about, you know, certain things that happen. But this is the real person behind the incident. She's very you know, shaken up over it, obviously, because of the injuries and, you know, the trauma, and, you know, potentially she could have died, but, you know, she survived that. So shout out to her. Shout out to the willingness of any stripper that's willing to do all those tricks at that height on a pole, because those that's like some acrobatic shit at that point. Like, you gotta commend those type of exotic dancers. What else do we got here? Keeping it very lighthearted. I'm not gonna go in on anybody really and truly because this is not one of those type of episodes. Kind of sick right now, a little under the weather, fucking cold. What else do we got here? What do I want to get to? Okay, so this is some disturbing shit too. Lori Harvey was robbed. Let's see if I got the video right here. Yeah, this shit is crazy. She was in her car. Okay, playing the video. So that's her. She gets out of her car. She goes to her trunk for some reason. There was a guy already hitted by the side, which is sketchy. How the fuck was he there when she was parking? I don't know what's going on. She tries to stop the, you know, the guy hitting backwards. I don't know what that guy... He had a gun, so I don't even... Well, allegedly, pretty sure we've seen it. She walks away slowly here. I'm just like, what goes on? Did he give her back her phone or something? Did she have a phone that she... I don't know what's going on here. Very weird looking incident of robbing. They couldn't make off with the, take off with the car, so they just took some of the contents in the car or in the SUV. But I don't know, bizarre footage here. Hopefully everything's good with Lori Harvey. Hopefully she didn't sustain any injuries from that little scuffle. That's fucked. Where's her security? Like, I know it's in a parking garage and there's cameras, but cameras don't stop anything. I don't know why people think, well, I don't know if she thought that, but I'm just saying in general, some people think, oh, there's a camera here, it's going to stop everything. No, it's just a camera. If your face isn't caught clean on the camera, people don't care. The camera's not stopping anything. It's more about actually having the security presence or a firearm, because shit can get real, real, you know, sticky real quick. Shit. Yeah, hopefully everything's good with Lori Harvey and them. Okay, so what else we get to? I'm going to get to all my video responses before I actually just get into my my rants and my shit. What else we got here video-wise? Snoop Dogg. Okay, so Snoop Dogg recently reacted to Gayle King's comments for... She had this interview with Lisa Leslie, and she was kind of disparaging Kobe's legacy. Just making these comments that don't need to be made about Kobe and Kobe's legacy. Bringing up, you know, the past allegations and shit. So Snoop Dogg had his response, and a lot of people felt like Snoop Dogg went overboard because Snoop Dogg called her out of her name. He was very disrespectful, and for the most part, you know, the black male community wasn't really having that. We felt like Snoop Dogg, you should have kept that shit, should have held that in for a minute before, and, you know, get your feelings together before going on the air or going on live and, you know, making those statements, because calling her a bitch and calling her whatever wasn't actually necessary. She was wrong, but if you want to remain in the right in these type of things, you actually have to take the higher ground and show her why she was wrong and, you know, call out people like Oprah and Gayle because they've been really, you know, on some shit recently. Let me play Snoop Dogg's reaction to the backlash.
Tops, hold up, though. This big Snoop Dogg. Here's a message for the people that need to know. I'm a nonviolent person. When I said what I said, I spoke for the people who felt like Gayle was very disrespectful towards Kobe Bryant and his family. Now, with that being said, what I look like wants some harm to come to a 70-year-old woman. I was raised way better than that. I didn't want no harm to come to her and didn't threaten her. All I did was said, check it out. You out of pocket for what you're doing and we watching you. Have a little bit more respect for Vanessa, her babies, and Kobe Bryant's legacy. Yeah, but anyway, I'm gonna do what I gotta keep doing. Y'all keep doing what y'all doing. We're very nonviolent. We just want to say that first and foremost. We speak from the heart. Some of you who have no heart don't understand that. But anyway, carry on and enjoy your day.
All right, so that was Snoop Dogg. I have to pull up the statement again that he made to see where they thought that he made a threat to her. I wasn't upset about the potential threat that he made, because I didn't even know if he made a threat or anything like that. I didn't take it that way. Apparently he's saying he didn't. Never even thought of that. It was more about just the disrespect. You didn't have to fight disrespect with disrespect. You could have came at her in a better way, but who cares at the end of the day? I'm not going to hold this against Snoop. Snoop Dogg was very mad, very emotional. They're grieving. And then Oprah For me, Oprah is so out of line with her remarks. Oh, Gail is very sad. She's the backlash really has her in her feelings, and she's upset about it. It's like, don't you think that Kobe Bryant's family and his fans are upset? Like, of course, fuck fans. Like, fuck me right now. I'm a fan. I'm upset. But fuck me right now. The family, okay? His family, his wife, his other daughters, everybody in the family is completely upset and distraught about this. We don't need people hunking on bullshit from his past and try to past allegations to try to put that and stay in his legacy. We don't need that right now. So why would the people feel sorry for Gail King and what the hell Gail King's going through from the Snoop Dogg backlash, whatever backlash she gets, when she went out of her way to disrespect a man who's no longer living? She went out of her way to do that. She didn't have to do that. I know she could be, people could say, oh, CBS and the way they clipped it and it was gross promo because it was an hour-long interview. It's like, it's the same shit as Love & Hip Hop. People want to blame Love & Hip Hop, directors and saying, oh, it was such a long thing and they clipped up this amount of moments to represent me bad. Well, they can't make things out of thin air. They can't make you represent yourself bad for those moments. They just highlight those moments. So at the end of the day, you're accountable for your actions. I don't want to hear, oh, CBS, this station did this, did that. I don't care. That's not excusable. You're getting the backlash from the negative shit you put out there, and you got to hold that. No one's going to feel sorry for you. It makes no sense. Why are we going to feel sorry for you? You didn't feel sorry for Kobe Bryant's family and his legacy. And then now you're expecting sympathy. And I feel like Oprah and Gail are some... they're really out of touch. Like, yeah, they may have had a stronghold on the media before, still have a stronghold on the media in some sort of sense because, you know, Oprah has her own channel and all this, her own station. But at the end of the day, they're out of touch with the community. They're not on stride with what the black community's visions are or what the type of mind frame we're in. I'm not saying that, you know, all black people are monolithic and everybody's on the same page and blah, blah, blah. But when your community's in lockstep for certain causes, you can feel it. And they've completely, I feel like they've been missing the train. They've been, I don't know, man, they've just been out of sync with the community. They haven't been on the right page. They've always been in this backlash. They're always taking the wrong sides. They're not sticking up for the community. Seems like they're always attacking black males and trying to, you know, tarnish their legacy, and they're leaving all the whites alone. And it's like, for me, Gail and Oprah, they need to do better. They got to start being accountable for themselves, and they got to stop being so out of touch. And it's like, yeah, you're billionaires. You're this, that, and that. You made wherever, you know, you've done whatever. You made your mark. But if you're going to comment and you're going to be in media today in today's day and age and you're going to be upset about backlash, then get over yourself.
Fuck out of here.
All right, what else do we got here? Klay Thompson posted this picture. Yeah, we're into the news and the gossip and the fuck shit now. Okay, so Klay Thompson, he posted this picture with, some girl he's seeing, some model, woman he's seeing. And for some reason, this blew up. And when you look at the picture on the surface, you're like, why did this blow up? Who cares? It's just a picture with Klay and a model. But there's this big discussion going on because they look at her and they're like, oh, she's flat. She's, you know, a pancake booty. You're just basically dissing her appearance. Like, people on Twitter, dudes on Twitter, even girls on Twitter. But a lot of people are not having it. A lot of women are not having it. A lot of women saying this is this bullshit that men, these unacceptable men standards, because if she had a fat ass, men would be calling it fake. And, you know, and if you didn't, they'll be like, oh, you got to go get an ass, and unrealistic standards of women and blah, blah, blah. Just raised this huge argument. And then girls saying that if you look a certain way as a man, you can't talk about girls because it's always these fat, ugly dudes talking shit about these girls online. And it just sparked this huge controversy over who's allowed to comment on what pictures and stuff. And I'm just like, yo, this is crazy. It's just a picture with Klay and this model girl. It's like, who cares? Nowadays in the media, it's like whoever's dating whoever always has to be a big story. You have to have certain standards. People have standards for you. It's like you can't have your own preference and your own standards. If you do something that the people don't agree, the people have something negative to say. That's why it, as a celebrity, if you care about people's opinions, you are doomed. If you're stuck in the place of always trying to make your fans happy or coddle the fans' feelings or, you know, be on this level that your fans want you to be on or do things that your fans want you to do, you're forever going to be miserable. I see a lot of celebrities. I'm not going to call out any names because I spoke on them in past episodes, but they're just too sensitive to certain things, and they let the media control them. Not Klay Thompson. Klay Thompson's far from that. Klay Thompson knows what the hell he wants. But, yeah, it's just an interesting conversation I seen spark up over, you know, just a one random picture. I should have probably got the 50 video for 50 responding to Oprah and Gail while I was still doing the Oprah and Gail shit. But he pretty much made some points about, you know, what is it for? Why are they doing this? Now, I'm not going to play the video since I already missed the segment, but I just feel like I need to mention that 50 also made another point to go in on Gail and Oprah for their random attacks of black men. What else do we got here before we get out? Okay. UFC fight. John Jones and Reyes championship fight. Some people think Reyes got robbed. Reyes didn't get robbed. That I feel like that's an overreaction. You could have scored the Reyes the fight 48-47, but to say that he like the 49-46 is ridiculous for Jones. That judge that gave Jones 4 rounds to 1, that's ridiculous. For me, I had that fight. It could have either went 3-2 for Jones, 3-2 for Reyes. But when it's a 3-2 situation, John Jones clearly won the last 2 rounds. Reyes clearly won the first 2. The third one was a toss-up. Some will give it to Reyes, some will give it to Jones. But the mere fact is that Jones finished stronger. He won the last 2 rounds, and he's the champion. And Reyes kind of danced and ran a little bit in the last 2 rounds. A lot of people feel like that's the reason why the judges didn't give it to him, because you got to beat the champion. You can't just get you outpoint him for the first couple of rounds and run around. But John Jones did enough, a couple of takedowns. I know the takedowns didn't allow – he didn't stay down with the takedowns. He didn't progress position. He didn't do anything with the takedowns. But at the end of the day, that's the way the scoring works in MMA. You get a takedown, you instantly get the score regardless of what you do for it. If you want to debate that, you're going to have to change the way they structure the point system and the way they judge. But other than that, I feel like that him getting robbed is just an easy headline, just an easy way to get people to, you know, co-sign what the fuck you're saying, because it did seem like he was putting on pressure on John Jones, and he did much better than I thought he would ever do. It was a toss-up. It was a close fight, very close fight. You can go either way with it, but when you can go either way with something like that, you shouldn't say that they got robbed, especially the fact that he was trying to dethrone the champion, and you got to beat the champion to beat the champion. You can't just, you know, get by a hair or something like that. It's not going to work that way. All right. Last topic before I get out of here. LaMelo Ball. So LaMelo Ball left the NBL, and he's coming back. Well, he's already back in the U.S. for prepping for the draft this coming summer. I want LaMelo Ball to go top 5 pick. He should go top 5. He should be top 3 pick. Really and truly, he put the NBL on the map because no one cared about the NBL before. Like, I know in Australia, they're like, what do you mean? Like, really and truly, if you're not in Australia, you don't know the NBL exists. You didn't know the NBL existed until LaMelo Ball went there. Well, most people. I'm not saying the whole basketball, because obviously there's certain basketball communities that know where the leagues are in every country. But for the most part, LaMelo Ball, RJ Hampton going to the NBL, putting them on ESPN, having the ESPN cover their games, put them on the fucking map. So they should be forever grateful for that. We shouldn't hear these reports about, you know, the organization, the coaches saying that LaMelo Ball just up and dipped on them. He mellow dipped on them. He didn't tell them, you know, or his teammates that he's leaving. But he was injured prior to that, so he was just going to be sitting on the bench. And he'd be better off to come home, nurse up, kill yourself, get yourself ready for the NBA draft and sit on a losing team, the Illawarra Hawks, that aren't going to make the playoffs or anything. It makes more sense for LaMelo Ball. You put a spotlight on the NBL. You did great for their league. It's a good partnership. But LaMelo Ball is pretty much a surefire draft pick. Like, I remember watching LaMelo Ball versus Zion Williamson in AAU basketball. And NBA players were there watching, like, Damian Lillard and James Harden and shit. Like, they were all there watching these guys play as, like, high school kids in AAU ball. So it's like LaMelo Ball's instantly like box office. Any team that picks him up knows that they have a superstar in the making and somebody that's already going to put asses in the seats. So LaMelo Ball, definitely top 5 pick. for me, top three pick, just judging from the draft class. For me, it's a very weak draft class. If I had the number one pick, I'm picking LaMelo Ball, and I'm not even thinking twice. But just because he didn't compete with the NCAA competition, it's kind of hard to scale where they're actually, like, where he would be in comparison. But he played in the NBL, and the NBL is a solid basketball league with former NBA players. So I would definitely draft LaMelo Ball top three. All right, pretty short episode. I'm sick right now, so I'm just trying to get through this shit. Blunt Talk with LT, episode 72. Yep.